Hello, and welcome to the Full Circle Healing Podcast, where we merge modern cutting-edge science with traditional healing wisdom and everything in between to help you come full circle, back to your original natural state of health and well-being. I'm your host, Michael, and over the past 15 years, I've helped hundreds of thousands of people find the information, practices, tools, resources, and experts they needed to find their way back to optimal health. Our guest in this episode is my friend and personal source of men's health information, Dr. Jerry Bailey. Dr. Jerry is a certified nutritionist, acupuncturist, chiropractic, and functional medicine physician at Lakeside Holistic Health with over two decades in the field. He's a prominent expert on men's medicine and leads the world in the emerging science of polyhormonal adrenal testosterone syndrome. Dr. Bailey's clinical experience and acute awareness of current research as a former faculty at the University of Western States in the Graduate Studies Department in the Masters of Science of Human Nutrition and Functional Medicine affords him a unique ability to apply current research to clinical practice to be truly effective, to be a truly evidence-informed practicing physician. In this episode, you will learn why testosterone levels in men have plummeted by nearly 70% since the 1970s and what this means for health, the surprising connection between testosterone, brain health, and chronic disease risk, the truth about testosterone replacement therapies and why it's not always the answer, and the dangers of quick-fix testosterone supplements and how to choose safe, effective options for naturally boosting testosterone. In this episode, we also discuss the gut microbiome hormone connection. If you'd like to take a deep dive into that topic with microbiologist Kiran Krishnan, head over to rebelhealth.co/hormones and grab a free training on the topic. Now let's jump into the men's hormonal crisis and what we can do about it. And we are live. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Jerry.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this will be fun. We hung out, I don't know, a million years ago at a conference. Was that Mindshare? Was that in California? Yes. Maybe San Diego?
Yep, San Diego, yeah.
A lot of years ago. I was there for the Human Longevity Project film series that I was part of, and I think we launched that in 2018, so we'll date ourselves a little bit there. But so it took me 6 years to wrangle Dr. Jerry into the podcast. He's a very busy man, but it's going to be a good talk here. We haven't done, admittedly so, and I'll hang my head in shame a little bit, we haven't done a lot of content over the years, specifically on men's health. I think that men tend to fall through the cracks when it comes to functional medicine and integrative health a little bit. I think a majority of the, I don't know the right word to use, watchers, readers, consumers, people who are proactive about their health, I think is more women than men as a whole.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And
for sure.
I think men tend to have to get dragged into a lot of these things unless they feel really crappy. And
right.
We're going to talk about feeling really crappy today. So that's going to be fun. So
yeah, exactly.
We're going to, let's start. Usually I don't like to use hyperbolic language or a frightening language or those big all caps, we're all going to die kind of headlines.
Nation points. Yeah.
I have recently seen a number of instances of people sharing studies around the drop in testosterone that we have seen in recent years, in the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it cannot continue at that level.
Right.
There's like not a lot of years left if it continues on that trajectory until we have zero. And yeah. So how much of that is, how accurate are those scary headlines I've seen?
Pretty true. Pretty true. There was a 2007 study that was done and it looked at the testosterone levels in men at that point. So that's almost 20 years ago. And it was anywhere from 50 to 60% lower than what it was in the 70s. And so that's what you're seeing is that, that those statements coming out and that fear there, but it is, it's true as we've seen this in today's society. We've seen this in the young men, the young boys. We've seen this in, I'm Gen X, I'm that middle Gen X era, that we're seeing this decline, not only in those testosterone levels, but we're seeing changes in the just the visual makeup of the kids, that we're not as big as we used to be. They're not as strong as they used to be. They have significantly less muscle mass. They have significantly more adipose tissue. A lot of them have gynecomastia developing in them because of the, which is breast and, you know, breast tissue growth in men. They have that increasing in there from the lack of testosterone and the actual increase in estrogen. So we see the reverse of what's happening in women. We see testosterone elevation in women and estrogen lowering, and we see testosterone lowering and estrogen growth in men. So and then we see the neurological aspects of it from it too, because we have to have a little bit of estrogen to protect the brain, but the amounts we're seeing then increases neurological degeneration earlier.
Increased estrogen leads to increased neurological degeneration in men earlier?
Yes, correct.
Like degenerative, like dementia, Alzheimer's type of stuff?
Correct, yeah. Yep, yeah, the dementia, the memory, the brain fog, all those things starting earlier and getting worse and worse in them.
Interesting. I did not know that that was linked to that. And that can be, I mean, the increased estrogen could be from what we're exposed to, or I mean, maybe we'll talk a little bit here about factors that increase men's conversion of testosterone to estrogen.
Yeah. But well, let's start there with the conversion.
Well, let's just start there. Hold on. I just want to get into that. Okay. That's 2007.
Yeah. That's 20 years.
If anything, that's probably accelerated since then. I can't imagine that it would have slowed down or leveled off or anything. So you're looking at a 50% drop in about a 30-year stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's about a 17-year stretch to now. So say that's another 30-ish percent. You're looking at around an 80% drop from the 70s to now-ish. Like, say 70. We'll go 70. We'll be really conservative.
Yeah.
So you're saying young men are smaller, weaker, more body fat, more breast tissue, higher estrogen. And this isn't just affecting younger men, because it's middle-aged and, like, all men's testosterone has dropped, right? Like, this wasn't just a test on color.
No, this is across the board that we're seeing this happen. You know, it's more so in the younger generation, but in our generations, the, you know, late boomer, Gen X, you know, Gen Z, we're seeing that effects right now. Nearly every man that comes into my clinic, with the exception, you know, of a few, and a few means like a handful, have low testosterone from the 200 to 400 range. You know, ideally, we want you between 700 and 900 for your total testosterone. That's nanograms per deciliter in the States. That's ideal for there. But most are coming in anywhere from 200 to 400. And the lab work itself for what's recommended is anywhere from 300 to 1,000 nanograms per deciliter. So these guys are coming in. They're like, I feel horrible. Got no energy. I got, you know, my sex drive is poor. My strength has gone down. My endurance has gone down. All these issues they're having, mental fatigue, depression. And the doc's like, well, your labs are fine.
Why would they say that? Are they not testing the testosterone? Or is it because it's at the lowest end of the thing that they're like, it's fine?
Because still within range. One thing they don't do is they never look at the free testosterone.
Can you explain what that means?
Free testosterone? Yeah, that's the actual available testosterone you have to utilize for your body. So you could have, and we see this, we'll see when we work with some clients, we'll see total testosterone go to that range 7 to 900, but we'll see their free not go, it'll go from like 8, which on the low end of normal, to like 10 or 12, which is better. We like it around 19 picograms per milliliter. That's ideal. But we'll see that total go up and the free just go up just a little bit.
Interesting. Okay. And the other non-free is bound, right? Because I've done some stuff with Dr. Liz now from EndoAxis, so I got a crash course in super hormone knowledge, and I understand that hormones don't do well in the blood by themselves, so they need to be carried. But when they're bound, they can't get into the cells and do their thing, right? So they got to get unbound. And so you're talking about they don't look at that free number, which is the number that matters, which reminds me kind of like thyroid testing. They always look at TSH or maybe T4, pre-converted version of the hormone, but they never look at T3, which is the one that actually does the thing. And so
really
makes a ton of sense. Okay. And you mentioned a few what I'll call symptoms or ways of being when you have low testosterone as an adult man. You said low libido, depression, low energy. Anything else in there that you commonly see complaints of?
Yeah, decrease of strength and endurance, erectile dysfunction, obviously. They've noticed in their sport itself or whatever they're doing for activity that their ability to do it is deteriorating pretty rapidly. They're falling asleep after dinner or during the afternoon. But what happens at nighttime is actually their sleep quality is really, really poor. They're not sleeping well and they're not recovering well at nighttime. Those are kind of the major ones that we see. And as long as you have, and so when we look at testosterone therapy, if your total testosterone is within normal range, you're technically not a candidate for testosterone therapy.
Because you don't want to push you don't want to push that testosterone number higher.
Too high. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay looking at a higher total testosterone. 1200 is kind of the limit that I'll look at and say, okay, as long as we're managing other symptoms that could be caused by that. But I really want to know that 3, because that's really what you have available. And I had a guy last year, he went to just these doc in a box TRT clinics. Now you just come in, do a questionnaire, do the blood work, and okay, here's testosterone. You feel great for a couple of weeks. And the next thing you know, you're not feeling good. Here's a higher dose. He was like at 2,500. Like he was at bodybuilder level of testosterone levels for total testosterone. His free was 7. So he is jamming all this testosterone in his system and not even converting it to an active hormone.
And possibly converting it to other things that he may not want, right?
Estrogen.
Because the body's going to do something with that. It's going to say like, holy shit, I have way too much of this. It'll either have to metabolize it. It has to break it down. It has to get rid of it. It has to convert it to something else. Like, it's not going to just let him chill out with 3 times the normal amount of testosterone, I would guess. So what? Okay. So there's a lot to try to unpack.
There's a lot to unpack there, but
what's making this happen, I guess? And that's probably a question that could be answered for many hours. But I'm sure that there's some known high level common drivers, and it's probably going to be like modern life. But what are the specific things about modern life, both as children and then adults, that's leading to this?
Yeah, one of the biggest ones we see is the environment, is the exposure of what you're exposed to every single day. Those endocrine disrupting chemicals, the forever chemicals out there, the hormone mimicking chemicals. So these are getting in the system, binding to these receptors in the body, blocking the conversions, blocking the absorption of them, and causing all of this havoc through there. So detoxifying the system is really key, and looking at what you're exposed to every single day and trying to limit that as best as possible, because there's just no way about it. They're called forever chemicals for a reason. They're there forever. Like, we aren't getting rid of them. Environment can't break it down. That means we can't break it down. So limiting the exposure to those, getting the body as clean as possible, making sure we're detoxing the receptors, detoxing the cells as much as possible is really, really key.
That's kind of Laura, just a shout. We're doing Hormone Masterclass coming up soon that you're going to be part of. Also a Hormone Optimization Masterclass, and there's a presentation in there. Also, we have a Toxicity and Detox Masterclass. Laura Adler, who's an environmental toxins educator, she did Endocrine Disrupting Chemicals Part 1 for the Toxicity and Detox Masterclass, and she is doing Endocrine Disrupting Chemicals Part 2 for the Hormone Optimization Masterclass, and she said there probably could be up to 12 parts of Endocrine Disrupting Chemical presentations because the more we learn, there's a frightening amount of them. And these are just in, personal care products, to cleaning products, to stuff that goes on pans and cookware and...
It's exposed to every single day. I had a wonderful gal in the other day, and she her health is just tanked. Fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue. I mean, she's got everything. Her mom, grandparent, grandma, and great grandma never had this stuff. And she's like, I don't understand why I'm tanking. And she's 49 years old. And I said, well, what your great grandparents, grandparents, and mom then to you were exposed to was exponential. Your great-grandparents weren't exposed to anything, really, at that point, unless they were in a major city. And then developing from there, just the amount of chemicals and things in the environment that we're exposed to every single day has exponentially grown to the hundreds of thousands every single day. So yeah, a 12-part series, for sure. A 200,000-part series, for sure. Yeah, because that's a major factor that's causing this stuff that we're seeing.
Okay. past environment. So we've got those chemicals. What else is driving this that we know of?
What we eat and don't eat. That's a high up there for people too, is you're eating fast food, junk food, you know, highly processed foods, even processed foods for that matter. You're getting, you know, calorically dense foods and nutrient poor foods. So we're overfed and we're undernourished. We're getting too many calories, too many, you know, simple carbohydrates in the system, high saturated fats, and we're not getting enough of the vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals that we discover wonderful names for every single day that drive that process to let our body be energetic, to let these hormones be created and converted, and to let your body function, your brain function the way it's supposed to. So nutrition is essential in there that people just don't realize. There was a study that just came out literally two weeks ago, popped up on my desk, and it was kind of funny. It's like, you know, us in the nutrition world, we see these studies and we're all like, well, duh, like we knew that, but you have to do a study to prove it. It's like, you don't have to do a study to prove it. It's just duh. And what it was they looked at groups of people, and it was in India, highly processed food diet versus minimal processed food diet. I think we all can guess what it said.
Yeah.
You know, highly processed food causes all these health conditions and all these health issues. Duh. So eat a less processed food diet.
Okay.
And we just shook my head and laughed. I was like, duh.
Less processed food. And who knows what that criteria was for less processed food.
Yeah,
there was not a no processed food category, I'm guessing. So we have environment, food. I'm guessing that stress plays a role here.
Stress and lack of sleep, two major ones too. As stress goes up, as you know, and I'm sure your listeners know also, your body goes between that fight or flight response and then the rest, digest, and reproduce. So kind of that sympathetic, parasympathetic shift. It's an easy way to look at it. If you're in sympathetic drive, that overly stressed, overly, you know, just lifestyle things going on, your body's in that fight or flight constantly, it's going to shut down all of your reproductive aspects. So all of your reproductive hormones, your testosterone, your estrogen, your progesterone, all those ones that we need, DHEA within there, even thyroid too, it'll shut down too, because it's not in a growth phase, it's in a protective phase. And so that stress does that to us. And it's not just the stress of everything. The thought of the stress can have the same exact effect, if not stronger. Because if you have the stressor, it's kind of there and you're over with. But if you're constantly thinking about the stressor, worried about the stressor, it's continually going on and on and on.
I feel attacked. Okay. and then what about medications or other types of health interventions that people do? Because I've let it happen naturally, and so far I've recorded a lot of the presentations for the Hormone Masterclass, and it's become an ode to cholesterol, which is so exciting. It is, cholesterol's at the top of every hormone chart that's on every slide that talks about hormones from every presentation. Right at the top, it says cholesterol, and I always pause them and give a shout because I'm on a personal mission to de-vilify cholesterol, but I don't know the stats or the up-to-date numbers or whatever, but I know there's a shitload of people taking statins and other cholesterol medications that tank cholesterol numbers. How does that affect the production or levels of testosterone?
Well, you said it. It's the mother molecule for your hormones, for your reproductive hormones, and for your stress response, because cortisol is from that same pathway. So when you, and as I'm with you on that, like, let's stop vilifying cholesterol. So when doctors take a myopic approach to an issue on somebody, let's just say the cholesterol issue, let's just say cardiovascular risk from cholesterol, they put you on that statin. Well, that statin, the HMG-CoA reductase inhibitor, is blocking that cholesterol production. What's the downchain effect? You nailed it. You said it. And the hormone production goes in the tank. Looking at the reverse effect, go, let's not do that statin. We know we have high cholesterol from diet, from lifestyle, from the stuff we've discussed. Hormones are down because your body's still in that fight or flight. So cholesterol's up, hormones are down. So if we block that cholesterol, hormones go down more. Now, if we work on stress and everything else in that system, what happens? Cholesterol goes down, triglycerides go down, glucose goes down, hormones go up. So if we work on that correct balance, then we get rid of that. But the doctors take that myopic view of, like, we're just going to worry about your cholesterol and your cardiovascular risk. And yeah, we're not going to have a heart attack. We're not going to have these stroke issues, but everything else in your life is going to suck.
But really low testosterone probably has increased cardiovascular risk. I don't know that for sure, but I would wager that there's a correlation there. And
because you're not using the cholesterol to make testosterone, so the cholesterol is going to back up in the system and it's got to go somewhere.
So, okay, we've got inadequate cholesterol for a number of reasons. Poor sleep, high stress, ruminating thoughts, worry, processed foods, junk foods, environment. I would guess you just mentioned glucose. Is there a correlation between like blood sugar dysregulation or people with high blood sugar or poor blood sugar control and testosterone? Has that ever been linked before?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's plenty of research on it. The lower testosterone you have, typically the higher glucose levels you have.
Which is the chicken or which is the egg?
Exactly. It's just a layering of the body. The body's letting you know something's going on. And again, addressing glucose levels, which is typically a receptor issue on the cells or an insulin receptor issue or a glucose modulation issue. Once a cell gets irritated enough and it starts shutting down the receptors, it becomes a dormant cell. That's how I view it. And so as those cells become dormant, you start seeing global cellular resistance, not just glucose, not just insulin, not just testosterone, but thyroid.
They don't want anything.
Also cells. Yeah, they don't want anything because they're like
Cartman from South Park. Screw you guys, I'm going home.
Exactly. Yeah, perfect analogy right there. You know, exactly what it is. It's just like, screw you guys, I'm going home. I'm not doing
enough cells do that, and your communicators and hormones and all your sugar, everything's just floating around with nowhere to go, and the cell has no instructions, no fuel, no anything. So, So I mentioned this before we went on air. I'm 44 years old and a man. So when I go on the internet, the internet blasts me with miracle testosterone pill commercials everywhere I go. So these are obviously the solution.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Just take a pill.
What are these? There's so many of these, like, 4x your testosterone by next Thursday or your money. Like what, I guess there's probably a layer of like total nonsense stuff that doesn't work or that's even maybe harmful. Then there are more effective or probably safer natural types of supplementation. So like, and then before we went live, you mentioned to me there's supplements that used to work but don't work now. So what's the story when it comes to supplementation and testosterone?
Yeah, there is some great supplements out there, and the better, you know, combined you use, you seem to get a synergistic effect versus like one single thing. In there. So the Tongkat Ali Tribalist is really good. The Thai Ginseng, Ashwagandha, Shilajit, the new one. I'm probably saying that wrong because everybody says something different.
I might also be saying it wrong. The Black Goo.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They all seem to work really well. But what when we look at those and people start using them is usually they're doing nothing and then they do something. So doing something normally gets an effect. I mean, if we're sitting on the couch doing nothing, we go for a walk, we get a beneficial effect from it.
Oh, you're saying now, if they start spending money on those things, they also usually start doing other stuff?
Potentially, yeah. Some don't. But if you don't do anything, you're not going to see a change. But if you do something, you do a change. Like if somebody goes from not taking a multivitamin a day and takes a one-a-day supplement, not the best thing, they're going to feel a physiological effect from it because they're getting nutrients they're not normally getting. In a short amount of time, the body goes, okay, that's not enough. We need to do more. So then it's going to be like, now you take more of something. Now you take more without doing the other things that are really causing the issues there. So the supplements can work, but they need to supplement your diet. And you need to know exactly what to take that's going to help with the conversion, creation, utilage of what that you want that hormone to be doing based on your specific issues there.
Yeah.
And we've seen that.
The supplements aren't going to like, there's not one supplement that's going to cause your body to make more testosterone, to stop it from breaking testosterone down into something else, to make testosterone more likely to get in the cells or make the receptors more, what's that word? The opposite of resistant. Welcoming. Open. Yeah. Like there's not one natural thing that you can take that's going to because that problem's like multifactorial. It's you're not making exactly. enough, you're converting it to estrogen, it's not getting in the cells, da 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 da, it's not in free form.
Yeah.
So there's not one thing you can take that's gonna like fix all of those problems. So you kind of gotta look at each of them. And what I heard you say is that these are supplements, which I know people mm-hmm. in the functional medicine world tend to get a little excited about supplements. And
yeah.
there are no supplements that will outweigh, I would guess with testosterone, it would be a sedentary life, bathing in chemicals mm-hmm. with really high stress, yeah. staying up at night, disrupted circadian rhythms. Like you're not going to be able to pound all these pills and see some like magic increase, right? right? And we haven't yeah. even talked about strength training, right? That comes in here somewhere.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of the next thing. But yeah, we're not going to out-supplement nor out-medicate your lifestyle or lack thereof a lifestyle. You know, it isn't going to happen. And we see that with Western medicine. We see that with functional medicine and natural medicine too, is docs get drug happy, docs get supplement happy. And all of a sudden people are coming in to see us, you know, grocery bag full of medications, grocery bag full of supplements. And it's like, you know, most of that stuff, if you just ate better, you wouldn't need that supplement. Yeah, through there.
Yeah,
so yeah,
it's really easier key. To take a pill than to do XYZ right. things. So we really want right. that to, we really want yeah. that to work. But strength training,
and we're seeing,
lifting. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, we're seeing. Let me just get back because we didn't cover that real quick. There was what we're seeing. What I'm the supplements I've been using that work that have worked really well with helping the testosterone and free testosterone production in men via lab work. So this is clinically, I'm seeing this with the labs, isn't working as well as they did before.
Why do you think that is?
I've had, you know, I'm racking my brain a little bit right now with that. Several of us, and my wife included, who's the naturopath in the clinic with me too, we're just kind of like, what the heck is going on? And I think what it is just, we're just seeing again the effects of either post-COVID issues, so changes from that, some chronic viral infections in people, but also I think it's just the exposures. And they've gone, these clients have gone through programs, and overall, like if we look at their scoring on like a MSQ or a metabolic assessment, their lifestyle and everything's improved dramatically. But this testosterone has gotten, like I had one yesterday. His testosterone went from 350 to 750. I was like, his total, I was stoked. I was like, yes. And then I scrolled down the lab and then his free actually went down. And I was like, what the heck? And so it was like, he's like, yeah, I guess like, I feel a little better, but I don't feel like I should. I'm like, yeah, you should feel way better. And I said, this explains it, is the supplement got that total going. Again, like I said, what's going to work where? That supplement got the total up, but it didn't affect the free, didn't affect the conversion there.
Okay. That's really interesting. We don't have any idea yet, probably, how COVID and all of that is affecting yeah. all this stuff, like long term. We probably don't have any data on that. So
we can just speculate clinically what we see. And then as we see this clinically, we can hopefully influence the researchers to start looking at it and go, okay, here's what we're seeing. Here's what we're hearing. We know there's been some research published with women and post-COVID syndromes, changing menstrual cycles. And hormone levels there. I have not seen one yet that I can recall offhand that looks at men specifically there too.
Okay. Now I guess I'd like to go to, we've talked about what hurts, what's causing these problems. And we've kind of by default kind of hinted towards some of the things that can help turn the ship around. You mentioned a handful of like natural compounds and herbs and supplements, Tongkat Ali, tribulus, mm-hmm. tribulus. I don't know how to say that. I've never said it out loud. I've only seen it written.
Tribulus.
Shilajit, ashwagandha, stuff like that. But I'm guessing you can just reverse that list of drivers and reduce your exposures as much as possible. Eat food.
Yeah.
That's food.
Eat the rainbow. Yeah, eat food. Like, that's food. Eat the food our great grandparents and grandparents ate.
With healthy fats in them. Reduce stress. Get your sleep in order. Work on mental thinking, thoughts, worries, et cetera, et cetera. What else? Mm-hmm. I think we're probably missing the exercise one in there.
Yeah, we didn't talk about exercise, and we were going there, and it is key. Is the shorter, more intense in duration you have of exercise, the greater it boosts testosterone levels.
Interesting. like the high intensity interval training and like sprint type stuff has a bigger impact on testosterone than like an hour and a half long weight training session with breaks in between or running or whatever other kind of thing.
Correct. Yeah. The Tabata style, those shorter, intenser ones, you know, really work well at boosting testosterone. Some of the research has shown that a quick Tabata style workout, 20 minutes, actually boosts testosterone levels up to 400%, which is great. Your longer duration exercises.
I want to throw a note out there for all these sedentary fellas in their 40s and 50s that when you go Google Tabata right now, and then you find out what it is, or you heard me say sprints, or we're talking about HIIT workouts or whatever, please, 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 please work on a little warm-up mobility, some maybe work with a trainer, maybe work your way up to doing those sort of things. I had a herniated disc in my neck this year for the first time, and that is not awesome. It was my first experience with nerve pain, which is super not fun. And I don't know if I could like pick up some battle ropes and do a Tabata style, you know, 20 minute Tabata workout right now without pulling something cold off the couch. So I just want to throw out that disclaimer. I don't want to get angry emails that, hey, I listened to your podcast and then I went and threw my back out, pulled a hamstring and a groin in the same workout. Now I hate you. But
that's, I haven't worked out in 20 years and I'm going to go deadlift 600 pounds.
Yeah, but people, no judgment, I know. Do things. And I've been those people before that do the thing that they hear. And I'm like, that sounds great. I'll go do that. I used to play sports 25 years ago.
Right.
Because high school was a while ago now. And
It was a lifetime ago for sure. Yeah. Don't just like work into your workout. Polk High School. I was this championship running back.
Five touchdowns. In one game. So that's really interesting, though. I knew that strength training, I'm sure strength, like typical strength training helps with testosterone, but I didn't know that this high intensity type of shorter workouts, which actually are easier to fit into schedules, have such a good boost. And what else is, you got any other lifestyle hacks that you've seen be effective or changes that really move the needle?
I mean, truly, it gets hammered. You know, we talk about detox here. You know, Laura was going to talk about doing the 12-part detox stuff. Making sure your body can clean itself out is key. And giving it the nutrients appropriately and knowing what you need for sure there. We use like the metabolomics test, which is like the organic acids test to look at that liver function, kidney function there. Knowing, and even genetics also, looking at how you can detox and support that process for hormones and other intoxicants that you're exposed to is really, really key to make sure you're keeping as clean as environment that you have in yourself as possible.
Okay. And men are actually probably exposed to a little bit less of those chemicals than women are because they don't use quite as many of those things from the make yourself pretty area of the store. Right. Which
well,
are just
times are changing.
That is also changing. You know?
We don't have as much exposure there, but you know, we are still exposed to, you know, probably 80% of what women are to in the day to day.
Just even in like 20%. Breathing and food and water in the house and the workplace and the
there's no organic pollutants. You have your exhaust, the diesel exhaust, everything we're exposed to there, and plus like, you know, the Roundups, the other, you know, fertilizers and herbicides, pesticides that are ubiquitous. They're in the ground, they're in the water, they're in the air, they're everywhere. So we're exposed to all that stuff daily. So making sure we can clean as best as possible is key. And not to be like frightening or the scary, like we talked about the big scariness of it all. It's just doing some simple things, you know, sauna, red light therapy, the detoxification supplements, just working gently through there. It doesn't require super, you know, these super long fasts and all these things that, you know, people will do, but just getting as clean as possible and checking yourself, not just relying on basic blood work that your primary or your medical doc may run, you know, just like we talked about cholesterols and testosterone and looking at different levels of there. The deeper you can run with those, the better we understand how your body works and the uniqueness of what we see in you. And then we can then date it and go, okay, here's the supplements you need to supplement diet and help any incur imperfections in your own physiology. Then you get the biggest bang for your buck through there. You're not taking 3,000 supplements or medications at that point.
Okay, that makes sense. I think that's a like a logical, level-headed approach, which is rare these days. We give our podcast guests homework to fill out before they come on, and the form that I received from Dr. Jerry had something very interesting written on it that says fat syndrome, and as a 90s kid, this is PHAT, the cool way, from about 1993. So shout to whatever comes after Gen X that's before Gen Z or millennials. I fall in that like abyss. I'm not really a Gen X, but I'm not a millennial. I was born in 80, and no one's given us a name, but fat was cool.
You're Y, Gen Y. You're Gen Y.
Is it Y? Y is a thing? All right, so...
XYZ, yeah, XYZ, millennial.
What is this approach with the coolness of the fat? P-H-A-T.
Yes. P-H-A-T, pretty hot and tempting was that term back then. But it is what I'm seeing in my guys. And the long term is polyhormonal adrenal and testosterone deficiency syndrome. So we're seeing the hormones, polymini hormone, adrenal stress response, and testosterone deficiencies in these guys. And it's taking not just saying, oh, you have andropause, okay, you have this cholesterol issue, you have this metabolic issue. It's really that uniformication of all those combined into one that I'm seeing with my guys. And we'll look at them as a whole and go, okay, here's your issues. You got cholesterol issues, you got glucose issues, you got probably fatty liver and issues with your liver, your testosterone's in the tank, your estrogen's climbing through there, you probably have blood pressure issues, and you have neurological issues too on top of it. So when we look and go, okay, here's what you got, it's this syndrome, this fat syndrome that the guys are having. And then we step back and go, okay, what's unique? There's some, you know, key things like we talked about here on the podcast already, diet, lifestyle, exercise, some basic supplementation. But then we get into the physiology of each individual guy and go, okay, where is it going wrong for you? And how do we attack this?
Okay, that makes sense. And it's a very, is that yours? Do you own that term? Are you the, trademarked copywriter? Go kneecapping people.
That's
if they're
using that. Yeah.
That is, and it is, it's never one thing. And something I heard you say in there that we have not talked about, that's going to be the last thing I ask you about, is the liver. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the liver. I have defeated, I'm the champion of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. I had it. My life used to be a lot different than it is now. And when I was 25 years old, I was denied for a life insurance policy because my AST and ALT numbers were both above 150. And they said, do you have cirrhosis or do you have hepatitis? And I said, probably not. And they said, okay, cool. We're not going to give you life insurance. And I was like, oh, well. Put that in the back of the head. And then about 5 years later, I was around 30 and... I don't remember why, but I had to get an ultrasound. They diagnosed me with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease with an ultrasound, and that is incredibly common now, unfortunately. And that was right when I first started doing this kind of stuff, like 13, 14 years ago, made it my top priority, gonna fix my liver. And about 6 years ago, my AST, ALT were around 20, and my ultrasound showed... no fatty liver. So it is possible. I stopped drinking heavily or really at all and changed my entire life and supplements and everything else. But it is possible to reverse. But like, what role does the liver play in relation to either testosterone production or metabolism? Or I'm sure there's a link there between fatty liver, congested liver, dysfunctional liver, and men's hormonal problems.
Oh, for sure. I'm going to add one thing to you. It's not called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease anymore. It's called metabolic associated fatty liver disease. That's the new term they're coining it.
Oh, really? Metabolic fatty liver
associated
disease?
Fatty liver. Yep.
So MAFLD, MAFLD.
MAFLD.
Okay.
Versus NAFLD.
All right. Huge difference that makes. I'm sure there's a lot of time and energy spent on that naming.
Yeah, one letter.
Instead of doing things, it's more about what do we call this thing is where our energy's focused. But okay,
exactly.
How does that relate? And how frequently do you see that in your men that have hormonal dysfunction?
Yeah, that the liver is the master. That's the master converter. That's where all your nutrients from your digestion that get broke down in there and travel to be packaged and recreated and done with. All the hormone conversion, majority of hormone conversion happens in the liver itself. That's thyroid, that's estrogen, that's progesterone, that's testosterone. All of that gets done there. So it's really that master. So if it is, you know, for lack of better description, bunged up, clogged up, not working, fatty for some reason, you know, you're not going to convert, you're not going to create, you're not going to get nutrients around the body very well. So it really becomes that master, that first one we look at to go, what's going on there? And how do we help the body work better in creating and detoxifying?
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And the liver is really the champion. The liver comes up in every, whatever the focus of the thing is that we're producing, whether it's on toxicity, obviously the liver, hormones, the liver. Mm-hmm. There's even links between liver dysfunction and autoimmune. We have an autoimmune masterclass. Then there's the liver, bile, gut, microbiome situation. So there's very little, if we did a blood sugar one, the liver would be involved. There's very little in the body.
You're
the liver is
you're
not.
Without your liver.
you're not going to make it very far. So So I'm guessing the alcohol, sorry, fellas, the drinking, and I've heard that, is it barley or hops or something hops. That's in beer is estrogenic?
That's the hops.
Okay, so beer, not good. And sorry out there to my stoner friends around America. I've heard the same thing about cannabis, that there are estrogenic effects of regular cannabis consumption as well. Are both of those things true, or am I just making myself feel good about my new no intoxication lifestyle?
We'll say both. There's truth there, and it's also good to pat yourself on the back for getting yourself healthy there for sure.
Okay.
But yeah, these, you know, it's the occasional, and you know, used to be like drink in moderation, you know, a couple drinks a week or something like that. A drink here and there, you know, I would say is okay for the most part. But when it becomes 2-3 more daily, you know, multiple times
a couple
a week,
beers after work every day.
Yeah. Or the Saturday binge drinking of having alcohol all day long.
Yeah.
I never know how people can do that. They get up, start drinking.
I used to have that ability. And now I would make it till about 11 a.m.
Yeah.
So
I never could do that myself. I mean, in college I had fun, but don't get me wrong, but yeah, I could never do that. But yeah, it's those things are just, you know, same thing with the recreational marijuana. Occasionally, all right, calming yourself down, okay, use a CBD or a THC gummy, something else that can help you out that way without the smoke effects of it for lung stuff. But in the same sense as we don't know how these things are affecting us, but we know we're starting to see the effects of them because people are doing them more.
Yeah. Okay. And there's probably a bunch of crap in both of those things as well. If you're going organic and know where all your booze and your smoke comes from, there's probably a whole bunch of things that fit into category number one that we talked about as well. So,
talk about cannabis farming. Just,
yeah.
You know, farming itself, you're a commercial farm now. You got to get the most, you know, per bushel per acre that you can get because that's where your income comes from. So now for pot itself, how much can we produce? How can we make, you know, in that same sense is now you're looking at per acre bushel, however, you know, you're looking at that growth there. How do you get the maximum growth? That's going to be chemicals of some sort.
Totally makes sense. So, all right, we gave our fellas out there and the wives who are going to nudge the fellas to listen to this podcast. Thank you, ladies. A lot to chew on here. So if somebody wants to go down Dr. Jerry's magical wonderland of testosterone enhancements, how do they get started? Where do they find you? What are first steps?
They can go to my clinical website, lakesideholistic.com. And you can do that /free book. And you can download our free book on the how to balance your hormones as effectively naturally for yourself. You can also go to my personal website, drjerrybailey.com. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and all those wonderful things that, you know, we're exposed to every single day.
That makes stress and lower our testosterone. Okay.
Right.
Great. Exactly. Go there, find those things. Dr. Jerry, thank you so much. I enjoy being able to take a topic that we could just sit here and like scare the hell out of everybody about for 45 minutes and kind of make it interesting and fun and inspire people to take simple steps. We gave them you a lot of things you can try. You don't have to do them all at one time. That's often not super successful. So pick a couple things you heard that sounds like something you can do and start there. Go to his site, social media, find some more info. And if you're listening to this soon after it comes out, we're going to have a really cool hormone optimization masterclass coming out really soon that you can watch that has presentations on about 8 different topics that we talked about here with really smart people that are doing great work. So thank you, Dr. Jerry. It took 6 years to do this, but I'm glad we made it happen. And
thanks for having us.
Yeah, we'll talk again soon. Thank you.